do want to say a word of thanksgiving to all those that participated in our VBS this week. I know that for many, it was a long week and in the heat as well. So appreciative for your service and for your care. Also want to thank you for your attendance here today and those that are joining us online. It's vacation season, and our house is always looking for a time to on vacation. I know that many of you are doing the same thing. So for those that are joining us online, we want to say good morning and welcome to you. I also do want to wish all fathers Happy Father's Day. For me, this has always been a day that where I think about just the concept of family. To some degree, it's my own family. Your family, it's people that have been like family to us. I'm a visual learner, and so the image that I always associate with days like Father's Day, and it could be Father's Day or Mother's Day, there are a handful of days throughout the year that lends itself to thinking about family and connection and things of that matter. I think of concentric circles. And obviously, maybe the circle that's in the middle, for me, it would be my own family. But then as the circles, as they are enlarged, you can see those that have been like family to you, or at least have been that level of influence. Every Father's Day, I think about, or at least I try to think about all the people that have been influential to me. I think about my early years as a young boy, and then how those persons have been helpful in my own development. So naturally, I think about my paternal grandfather. I didn't know my paternal grandfather. He died when my mom was six. But I think about my dad's dad, and I think about the weekends of going to, I have two brothers, and all three of us, my granddad was a tall, big man, and we would all climb in his lap and watch football on Saturday mornings, and he would take us to Dairy Queen or wherever it may, I mean, just would allow us just to climb all over his space and him, and he just sort of welcomed all that, and so it was fond memories for me, and I think about his care. Obviously, I think about my own father and his love and support and care inside of my own life and the relationship that, you know, even today there's things that we enjoy to do and look for ways to spend our life together. And then as I became an adult and Brooke and I moved and lived in different cities, I think about the other men that have been like fathers to me. What's interesting to me is that as I approach Father's Day, it's always, on one level, it's with a deep gratitude for how God has used different people throughout my life and that has led me to be the person that I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. I think early on, there's a part of maybe something that sits. You can tell me if this is true with women. I know with men, there's something that sits inside of us where we, you know, it's almost this sense of where no one's going to tell us who we are and what we're going to do. And then as you get older, you just realize that's not accurate. And it's sort of arrogant to even believe it. And so I think to some degree, owe a debt of gratitude to those that have just loved and cared for us and have poured into our life, to use some modern language, to help create us who we are. And so there's part of me on Father's Day that always sees Father's Day, I'm speaking first person, through the lens of reflection. For whether it be your own father or people that have been like fathers for you. I know for some it's those that are not tied to them biologically that have been so influential to their life. And so we're grateful for that. To some degree, we want to acknowledge that. But I have to tell you, I've reached the age to where, at least over maybe the last 5 or 6 years, I don't know exactly when it happened, but it has been at least for the last 5 years that when I approach Father's Day, It's not just looking back at all those that have been, that God has used to make me be who I am today. Now it's that, and it's looking forward to what's my place in the life now of other people. You know, I think when you're young, you know, at least some level of maturity, you look at all those that have helped you become the person that you are. But at some point, there has to be at least some level of transition to where it's not just that, it's also what's my role in the life of other people. And so for about the 5 or 6, you know, years of my life, I've been thinking about not just what I've received, but what am I giving? And so naturally, I think about that in terms of my own 2 children and to what I've... I remember when they were born. I mean, I still can vividly remember that day. But I've always been a goal setter. And so there was this idea of what type of father do I want to be? And so I actually wrote down things. I'm also one that writes it down and said, this is the type of dad and father I want to be, and here's what I want to accomplish. And some of the stuff I've realized was not even close, all right? So, I mean, it's just, I mean, poor list. It's not achievable. But some of the things I've achieved, at least in hope to do and be. But it's not just with my own kids. I think about that for your children. One of the things that I'm deeply appreciative of now is our relationship over this last 10 years. And so some of the children who now sit in the church with me, I've held not long after they were born. And I can't tell you what that is, just how meaningful that is to have watched them grow from baby to toddler to toddler to little boy or little girl. And then I'm hoping for years in the future of watching that. And so when I think about my role, not just with my own 2 children, but goals I've got of the type of leader I want to be for your children. And I'm sure some of the things that will be achieved and others will not. I mean, my children have reached the age that either the damage has been done or the foundation has been laid. Maybe you can ask, one of them's here, the other one was at the other service. You can ask them, they'll probably tell you whether or not it's been good or bad. But I do think about what I've received and then what's my role and what I pass on. Because chief on the list, if I were to show you the list that I made for my children, what I want them to be is believers. And that's been a big, you know, not just because they're, I mean, it's one thing to have a dad that's a pastor. But I mentioned this to you last week. They don't get a choice on what church they attend. They follow their father. And so there's always been something that's been a great concern of mine is that with children who grow up because their dad is a pastor, and so naturally they're tied to the church. At some point, I want it to not just be something their dad was a part of, but actually be something that they want to be a part of themselves. So one of my concerns and goals is that I've hoped that and prayed that they'll be not just a part of the church, but that they'll actually be believers and that they would see God as an influence in their life, that when it comes time for them to see themselves, see another person, to judge what is right and wrong, that faith in God really is that level of an influence. And that they would trust God's Spirit in their life that would lead them. But there's something about this day, at least for me, and I would imagine maybe the same is for you, where we sort of are standing in the gap from what we've received from other people that have been a part of our life, and then at the same time, a little bit of a transition to where we're not just receivers, but we're also now what we're giving, what we're passing on. Solomon understood this, maybe more so than any other king in the Old Testament. Solomon was the third king. You have Saul, and then you have King David. And David was Solomon's father. And so one of the passages that John read for you was that Solomon was standing in the gap where acknowledging what was given to him from his own father. And then at some point, what's going to be passed on to the generations after him. Now, if Solomon was here, which he's not, but I would imagine that at least some point in the conversation, he would talk about at least one crowning achievement in his life would have been the building of the temple. This was a massive, massive project, and at that day, I mean, was a wonder of the world, one of the largest, if not the largest, area of worship in that day. It's a massive building project. His father David, who was considered the high mark to some degree of what it's like to be a leader, something his father David never achieved, never saw it. He dreamed about it. He desired it. His feet never touched the marble floors. But with Solomon, it became a reality. Massive building project for the day. I mean, you can go back and read in the Chronicles and the Kings the level of, you're talking about a hiring boom. People from all over. Different skill sets were hired in order to build the temple. Material from other different countries. Decades to build. Probably what most people estimated that maybe somewhere between $500 and $700 million today. Can you imagine that for a building project? No, thank you. And yet, he built it. And so on one level, when we think about Solomon, what's passed down from one generation to the next, obviously is all that he received from his father David and then working to make the temple a reality. But I'm not sure that should be the crowning achievement in his life, as wonderful as it is. Because he also did something else, and this was the second text that John read for you. He reestablished the worship and the different festivals throughout the year. And he empowered the priests, the Levites. He helped create the different policies that and practices that were that for a period of time were lost, or at least not practiced. And so it wasn't just that Solomon built the temple, as wonderful as that was, equally as important was that Solomon created something so that worship could continue. And he fortified everything that was tied to that, whether it be the daily use of the temple, either with sacrifices or with daily prayers, or the festivals, which were the giant worship services. They didn't have worship services the way we do that are weekly for them. They had a handful throughout the year, and they were anywhere from 7 to 10 days long. And so what people would do is they would take a pilgrimage down to Jerusalem, and they would have these giant worship services that were like block city parties. And he helped establish or reestablish those and fortified them. See, if that part wasn't done, then the temple was nothing more than just a building. A spiritual truth that exists in both the Old Testament and the New Testament is this. A person's faith life, it's not just a one-and-done event. It has to be fed. It has to continue. And consecrating the temple, which was a great day, you can read about it. A massive worship service where all stops were everything was done. Music, gathering, sacrificed hundreds of animals. I mean, it was a sensational event. But if that was the only event, well, then either it would be a one and done, or the temple actually would become a foundation for faith. Now, the reason why I talk about Solomon's life is because I think this is something for us to remember as parents or grandparents or even as a church. Because what we can do if we're not careful is we fall into a trap of sensationalism where everything, it's either just one massive event and then either that's it or then everything has to be that event and more, so that everything that we do, it has to be more and more and more and more and more. And what we then teach or pass on is really something that's not real. The way that shows up in parenting is this, and this was a concern of mine. I mentioned it to you earlier. It is the idea that, you know, what's that right balance? If I've received something from previous generations and then I'm at a place where I want to pass that on to future generations, how do you do that? And it not come across as dogmatic rules, or if it becomes something that is like pie in the sky that's not real. And I think as a parent, I think you understand the struggle. Because if it's just about creating something that is sensational, then I wonder about the narrative that we actually teach or follow. Because sometimes the best way to pass something on is not these wonderful, grand, few events that happen in a lifetime, but it's the day in and day out proof-tested faith that another person sees all the time. Because sometimes we think it's just this. And we need those events. I mean, you need the mountaintop events. But it's been my experience as a pastor, and I can tell you as a father, those mountaintop experiences, they're few and far between. But what a child sees day in and day out, that will be what stands the test of time. How many people in here love Christmas morning? It's fantastic, isn't it? That's one time a year. And there are 364 more days in a year. It's easy for it to be Christmas morning. But just by number, a child or a grandchild, or a child that you have influence over, they're going to learn more in the 364 than they will the one. Now we need the one. It's beautiful. But it doesn't replace the day in and day out. Sometimes it's just a Tuesday or a Thursday. But there will be more Tuesdays and Thursdays than there will be those sensational days. And we're glad to have the sensational. We're glad the temple was built. But if there wasn't an establishment of the worship, the festivals, and all that goes into making the day in and day out temple work, then the temple would have been nothing more than just this wonderful building that one day at some point in time we celebrated and we consecrated, and then it's forgotten. That's how faith is passed down. You know, one of the things I wish that probably if I was a better planner on the calendar, I would have waited and maybe saved this sermon for a day when we have baptism. One of the things I love about infant baptism is what we do and what we see. You have parents, maybe godparents sometime, and they take vows in front of the church, which means they enter into a covenant with you and with God. And then you, as representatives of the church, you enter into a covenant with them. And you know what you're doing? You're pledging. You're taking vows for the Tuesdays and the Thursdays, for the day in and the day out, what type of person you want to be in front of the child. And so what you do is you model your faith. And there are going to be those grand days that are like the temple being built. It will be a high mark of days. It's just not the common. The common or the Tuesdays and the Thursdays. And what a child sees in those days is just as important as what they see in that one day. Because what you manifest and show to those that come after you is not perfection. It's just a proof-tested faith that's functional. That's how they learn. I can't remember what TV show I watched when I was sitting in my granddaddy's lap. I know it's tied to football because he had three grandsons who loved football more than anything else. I can't remember what we ate when he would take us to Dairy Queen. I remember that he worked at Tom's Food, so we always got candy. That's what I do remember that. I just remember going down and sitting in his lap and doing that over and over and over again. And so that's what I associate with. I'm sure he was there on the high days of my life, at birthdays, at least until he died, Christmas, other important events. But the truth is, those days, I don't remember as much as the Saturday mornings. There will be times in your life it will be sensational. But if that's not balanced with the other 364 days of where children or grandchildren see what it's like for you to live out your faith at work, at home, in social groups, and just your daily living, then the odds are there's going to be a disconnect. Maybe Solomon understood something. That it's not just the sensational that we need, but the sensational really only works when it's supported by the everyday. I think that's a lesson in parenting. from King Solomon. Because unfortunately, after Solomon, there became a day when the everyday use of the temple, through the daily prayers, the daily sacrifice, the festivals and the worship, they stopped. And you know what happened after that? The temple was non-existent. If one of your goals in life is that you want to pass down what you've received, you're going to have to live it out daily. It's not perfection. It's not. And I'll be the first to admit in my life, far from it. But it does have to be proof tested. And proof tested comes mostly in the Tuesdays and the Thursdays, not just the Christmas morning. I think Solomon understood it. And he harnessed what he had received from so many. And then at least at this point in his life, he was also concerned about what was passed on to the next. Fathers, you don't have to be perfect. You don't. But you do have to witness. And you do that on the Tuesdays and Thursdays. Over there, see what it's like for you to live in a world that sometimes is difficult, but faith is a part of it. That'll be what your children, what they remember. They might remember a Christmas morning, but they'll remember the day in and day out. Lord, we read this passage and we think it's about a, and it is about a temple, but it's more about a life. A life that is lived where what? Here's the thing about human nature. Lord, we notice the patterns. And we've been given the unique place to be able to mold and to fashion and to guide another. It'll be the patterns of our life that they remember. It'll also be the patterns of our life that become our greatest witness. And those that have the ability and the privilege to influence another. It doesn't matter if it's their biological children. It's about what we've received and then what we pass on. Lord, help us, O God, to be faithful, to be mindful. And so, Lord, we ask for your help. Guide us, O God, we pray, in your name. Amen.